Matthew chapter 15 verses 21 to 39. Matthew chapter 15 verses 21 to 39. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus went on from there and walked beside the Sea of Galilee. And he went up on the mountain and sat down there. And great crowds came to him, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. So that the crowd wondered when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled healthy, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I am unwilling to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way." And the disciples said to him, "Where are we to get enough bread in such a desolate place to feed so great a crowd?" And Jesus said to them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven and a few small fish." And directing the crowd to sit down on the ground, he took the 7 loaves and the fish. And having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate, and were satisfied. And they took up 7 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those who ate were 4,000 men, besides women and children. And after sending away the crowds, he got into the boat and went to the region of Magadan. Now we've been noticing the 3 sets of people whom Jesus deals with in his period of withdrawal, which is seen from Matthew chapter 14 right up to chapter 20. And these 3 sets of people are, number 1, his enemies, number 2, his disciples, and number 3, the multitudes. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 20, we saw how Jesus answered the questions of his enemies, the Jewish religious legalists, the scribes and the Pharisees, who held on to traditions. Then we saw how Jesus taught his disciples when they asked those questions about tradition. We see truth and love here in Matthew chapter 15. And those are the main concerns of Christ, truth and love. Truth, he rejected Jewish tradition. That's what we see in Matthew 15 verses 1 to 20, which was our text last Sunday. Now we see love and compassion. He responds to Gentile needs in Matthew 15 verses 21 to 39. We looked up to Matthew 15 verse 20 in our last study. Today we will look at verses 21 to 39 regarding his love and his compassion for the Gentiles. Not only did Jesus teach that no foods were unclean, but he practiced his teaching by going into Gentile territory. He left Israel and withdrew again, and this time into the area of Tyre and Sidon. And this was Gentile territory. The Gentiles were unclean as far as the Jews were concerned. In fact, the Jews referred to the Gentiles as dogs. It was not a surprise that Jesus would minister to Gentiles. In Matthew chapter 12 verses 17 to 21, we have studied that passage earlier, Matthew 12 verses 17 to 21. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. And he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. In his name the Gentiles will hope. So it's no surprise that Jesus would minister to the Gentiles. Yes, of course, the fuller ministry to the Gentiles began only after his resurrection. Before his death and resurrection, the emphasis was on ministering to Israel. Matthew chapter 10 verses 5 to 6. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Here in Matthew chapter 15 verses 21 to 39, we see Jesus reaching out to the Gentiles. And this is a kind of a glimpse of the ministry that the church would be involved in the future, as we see from Acts chapter 10, when the ministry to the Gentiles began with the household of Cornelius. First, we see here Jesus delivering a demon-possessed Gentile girl in answer to the persistent plea of her mother. Jesus ministered to the demonized. Matthew 15 verses 21 to 28. I read to you now from the New Living Translation. Matthew 15 verses 21 to 28. The New Living Translation. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Gentile woman who lived there came to him pleading, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David, for my daughter is possessed by a demon that torments her severely. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Then his disciples urged him to send her away. Tell her to go away, they said. She is bothering us with all her begging. Then Jesus said to the woman, I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel. But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, Lord, help me. Jesus responded, it isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, that's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table. Dear woman, Jesus said to her, your faith is great, your request is granted, and her daughter was instantly healed. Remember that Jesus was trying to remain hidden during this time. Mark chapter 7, Mark tells us in Mark chapter 7 verses 24. Mark chapter 7 verse 24. And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered a house and did not want anyone to know. Yet he could not be hidden. This was his period of withdrawal, which began in Matthew chapter 14, which we see right up to Matthew chapter 20. And this was the time he wanted to spend alone with his disciples, preparing them for his death on the cross. But somehow, this Canaanite woman, this Gentile woman, heard about where Jesus was, and she came to him with her desperate need. Now, please keep in mind that our Lord Jesus responded to this woman as he did, not to destroy her faith, but to develop her faith, to bring out her faith. Her own replies showed that she was growing in faith and unwilling to let him go without getting an answer. Samuel Rutherford, the godly Scottish Presbyterian pastor, stated this principle perfectly. He said, it is faith's work to claim and challenge loving kindness out of all the roughest strokes of God. So beautifully put. It is faith's work to claim and challenge loving kindness out of all the roughest strokes of God. Now, when this Gentile woman approached Jesus calling him Son of David, she was definitely putting herself on Jewish ground, and this she actually could not do because she was a Gentile. She did not have the right to do that. But this title revealed her faith in Jesus Christ as the Messiah of God, because Son of David was a name for the Messiah. And she knew that. Matthew chapter 22 verses 41 and 42. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question saying, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." Now since she came to him on Jewish terms, calling him son of David, Jesus was silent. But Jesus gave her no reply, not even a word. Matthew 15 verse 23. Of course, he knew what was in her heart, and even his silence actually encouraged her to continue asking. Now, how did the disciples respond? They were fed up with her, impatient with her, persistent following and crying out. And the disciples said, "Send her away." Then his disciples urged him to send her away. "Tell her to go away. They said she's bothering us with all her begging." Matthew 15 verse 23. We are not sure whether they meant give her what she wants and get rid of her, or just get rid of her. In either case, they were not showing much compassion for either her or her demonized daughter. The reply of our Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 15 verse 24 indicates that they just wanted him to break his silence and answer her request. Then Jesus said to the woman, "I was sent only to help God's lost sheep, the people of Israel." Matthew 15 verse 24. Now, we cannot but admire the patience and the persistence of this Gentile mother. "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." That was her next plea. And this time, she avoided any of those messianic titles. But she came and worshipped him, pleading again, "Lord, help me." Matthew chapter 15 verse 25. So she comes as a sinner, needing help, and she offered no argument. Jesus responded, "It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." Matthew 15, 26. In his reply, Jesus did not call her a dog the way the Pharisees would have addressed a Gentile. The Greek word for dog here means a little pet dog. That's what it actually means. And not the mongrels that ran the streets and ate the garbage. The children here referred to, of course, are the people of Israel. The children of Israel. Now, Jesus was not playing games with the woman, nor was he trying to make the situation more difficult for her. He was drawing out of her a growing response of faith. That's what he was doing. This kind of faith is something that Jesus desires from all of us. And she immediately seized on his illustration about the children's bread, which was exactly what he wanted her to do. She replied, "That's true, Lord. But even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." Matthew 15 verse 27. In other words, she was telling Jesus, "It is true that we Gentiles do not sit at the table as children and eat the bread, but even the pet dogs under the table can eat some of the crumbs." What a tremendous testimony of faith. And we must applaud her for her faith. She replied, "That's true, Lord, but even dogs are allowed to eat the scraps that fall beneath their master's table." When I read that verse, I immediately exclaimed, "Midiki." In Malayalam, we have that colloquial word, midiki. She seized on the opportunity that the Lord was giving her regarding that illustration. And she knew what he wanted her to do. And it was this faith that Jesus acknowledged. And immediately he healed her daughter. "Dear woman," Jesus said to her, "your faith is great, your request is granted," and her daughter was instantly healed. Matthew 15 verse 28. It is worth noting that both of the persons in the Gospel of Matthew who had great faith were actually Gentiles. We see here the Canaanite woman, and we also see the Roman centurion. The Roman centurion, Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13, and we have studied that passage. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13, I'll read to you once again. When Jesus returned to Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are and my servant will be healed. I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers and I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go or come and they come. And if I say to my slaves, do this, they do it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. Turning to those who were following him, he said, "I tell you the truth, I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. I haven't seen faith like this in all Israel. And I tell you this, that many Gentiles will come from all over the world, from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the feast in the kingdom of heaven. But many Israelites, those for whom the kingdom was prepared, will be thrown into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the Roman officer, "Go back home, because you believe it has happened." And the young servant was healed that same hour. So in both cases, the case of this Canaanite woman and also the centurion, in both cases, Jesus healed the one in need from a distance. He healed the person in need from a distance. Now, spiritually speaking, there is a truth that we need to realize here. Spiritually speaking, we Gentiles were afar off. We were at a distance. We Gentiles were afar off until Calvary, until Jesus died on the cross. At Calvary, everything changed. Jesus died for both Jew and Gentile and made reconciliation possible. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 11 to 13. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. You have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. So it was through his death on the cross that Jew and Gentile have now become one in Christ, in his body, the church, of which he is the head and we are the members. This woman's faith was great because she persisted in asking and trusting when everything seemed against her. Certainly, her race was against her because she was a Gentile. Her gender was against her. Most Jewish rabbis paid little attention to women. It seemed that the disciples were against her. And the words of Christ might have led her to believe that even he was against her. But all of these obstacles only made her persist in asking. When we come to Christ, we need to be persistent in asking, and we must also ask in faith. We must be persistent in asking, and we must also ask in faith. There is a great lesson here for us, a lesson about prayer and also about faith. Matthew 21 verse 22. "And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith." Next, we see Jesus ministering to sick and handicapped Gentiles in that region of Decapolis. Jesus is ministering to the sick and handicapped Gentiles in the region of Decapolis. Matthew 15 verses 29 to 31. Matthew 15, 29 to 31. "Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. They laid them before Jesus and he healed them all. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking. And the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. They praised the God of Israel. So now Jesus had departed from the borders of Tyre and Sidon and went to the region of the Decapolis. The Decapolis included 10 cities that were in a league. 10 cities in a league. And these 10 cities were authorized by the Roman government to mint their own coins. They could run their own courts and have their own armies. And this was predominantly Gentile territory. Jesus healed there a man who was deaf and dumb. Remember Mark chapter 7 verses 31 to 37. Mark chapter 7 verses 31 to 37. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it, and they were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, even though the Lord cautioned the man to be silent, he and his friends spread the account of the miracle all over the place. And this apparently caused a great crowd to gather, including people who were lame, blind, dumb, and crippled. We see that in Matthew chapter 15, verse 29. Jesus returned to the Sea of Galilee and climbed a hill and sat down. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. So this is in the region of the Decapolis. A vast crowd brought to him people who were lame, blind, crippled, those who couldn't speak, and many others. Matthew 15 verse 30. Jesus healed these people, and the Gentiles glorified the God of Israel. These Gentiles glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 15 verse 31. The crowd was amazed. Those who hadn't been able to speak were talking. The crippled were made well. The lame were walking and the blind could see again. And they praised the God of Israel. The ESV version says, and they glorified the God of Israel. Matthew 15 verse 31. What a contrast between these Gentiles and the Jewish leaders who knew the Old Testament scripture. These Gentiles glorified the God of Israel. They praised the God of Israel. But the Jewish leaders said that Jesus was in league with Satan. Matthew chapter 12 verses 22 to 24. Then a demon oppressed man who was blind and mute was brought to him, and he healed him so that the man spoke and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, can this be the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this man casts out demons. The miracles done by our Lord Jesus in the Jewish cities did not cause the people in these Jewish cities to repent. Matthew chapter 11 verses 20 to 24. Matthew 11 verses 20 to 24. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. But the Gentiles believed in him. The very miracles that he performed should have convinced the Jews. The miracles that he performed should have convinced the Jews that he was the Messiah, but sadly they did not believe. John chapter 1 verse 11. John 1 verse 11. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The Jews had all the opportunity they needed to believe in him because the messianic miracles that were prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures were being fulfilled right before their eyes. Let's read from Isaiah chapter 29 verses 18 to 19. These are prophetic scriptures with regard to the miracles that the Messiah would do. Isaiah 29 verses 18 to 19. In that day, the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 35 verses 4 to 6. Isaiah 35 verses 4 to 6. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Matthew chapter 11 verses 5 to 6. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. The Jews saw with their own eyes the abundance of miracles that he did in their midst as proof of being the Messiah. But many of them, and especially those who were the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the scribes, they refused to believe. Jesus marveled at the faith of a Gentile soldier and a Gentile mother. Yet he was amazed at the unbelief of his own people. Mark chapter 6 verse 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went about among the villages teaching. Next, we see Jesus miraculously feeding the hungry multitudes. The hungry. Matthew chapter 15 verses 32 to 39. Then Jesus called his disciples and told them, I feel sorry for these people. They have been here with me for 3 days and they have nothing left to eat. I don't want to send them away hungry or they will faint along the way. The disciples replied, where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Jesus asked, how much bread do you have? They replied, 7 loaves and a few small fish. Jesus told all the people to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, thanked God for them, and broke them into pieces. He gave them to the disciples, who distributed the food to the crowd. They all ate as much as they wanted. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 large baskets of leftover food. There were 4,000 men who were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. Then Jesus sent the people home, and he got into a boat and crossed over to the region of Magadan. Now, critics of the Bible have accused the gospel writers of deliberately falsifying the records in order to prove that Jesus performed more miracles. They claim that the feeding of the 4,000 was merely an adaptation of the previous miracle of feeding the 5,000. But a careful examination of the records shows that this accusation is false and the critics are wrong. Now there is a chart here that shows the differences between the two events. And I'm just putting that chart on the slide for you. In the feeding of the 5,000, it was primarily the Jews. But in the feeding of the 4,000, it was primarily Gentiles. In the feeding of the 5,000, it was in the land of Galilee near Bethsaida. But when he fed the 4,000, it was in the Decapolis. That's where he fed the 4,000. In the feeding of the 5,000, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. And if you read in the feeding of the 4,000, it was 7 loaves and a few fish. A few fish. In the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets left over. In the feeding of the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left over. The crowd with him in the feeding of the 5,000, they were there with him for 1 day. But in the feeding of the 4,000, the crowd was with him 3 days. In the feeding of the 5,000, it happened during the spring of the year, that the grass was green. In the feeding of the 4,000, it was summer season. After the feeding of the 5,000, they tried to make him king. But after the feeding of the 4,000, there's no such popular response. Now, since the crowd of 4,000 had been with him 3 days, they had used up their own supplies of food. The compassionate heart of Jesus is what we see here. The compassionate heart of Christ would not permit him to send them away on their journey back home because they were hungry. They would probably faint along the way because of their hunger. The first motive for this miracle was simply the meeting of their basic need of hunger, the meeting of the human need. The people had already seen his miracles and glorified God. So the miracle was not for the purpose of preaching a sermon or authenticating his ministry. However, this miracle did have a special purpose for his disciples. It's amazing. They had forgotten the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. In Matthew 16 verses 6 to 12, we read, "Watch out," Jesus warned them, "beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." At this, they began to argue with each other because they hadn't brought any bread. Jesus knew what they were saying, so he said, "You have so little faith. Why are you arguing with each other about having no bread? Don't you understand even yet? Don't you remember the 5,000 I fed with 5 loaves and the baskets of leftovers you picked up? Or the 4,000 I fed with 7 loaves and the large baskets of leftovers you picked up? Why can't you understand that I am not talking about bread? So again I say, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then at last they understood that he wasn't speaking about the yeast and bread, but about the deceptive teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So they had not only forgotten about the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 16, they forgot about this miracle also, the feeding of the 4,000. You see, the 12 were perplexed. But they actually should have been saying, "Jesus is able to multiply loaves and fish, so we have no need to worry." Instead, this is what we hear them saying, Matthew 15 verse 33. "Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd? Where would we get enough food here in the wilderness for such a huge crowd?" You know, there's something in human nature. There's something in human nature that tends to forget that it is God who provides for our daily bread. Remember, we said earlier how God gave them manna in the wilderness, and the whole purpose of giving them manna in the wilderness was to teach them to depend on Him for their daily bread. But there's something in human nature that tends to forget that it is God who provides our daily bread. It is God who is the one who gives us our food, whether it be for a day or for a lifetime. Even Moses forgot this, and God had to remind him. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11 verses 21 to 23. But Moses responded to the Lord, "There are 600,000 foot soldiers here with me, and yet you say, 'I will give them meat for a whole month.' Even if we butchered all our flocks and herds, would that satisfy them? Even if we caught all the fish in the sea, would that be enough?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true." In other words, the Lord was telling Moses, "Have you forgotten what I did for you in Egypt? All those plagues and all those miracles by which I brought you out of Egypt? Has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not my word comes true." And sure enough, the word of the Lord came true. Just as in the feeding of the 5,000, this miracle took place in his hands. As Jesus broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, the bread multiplied. Everybody ate and everybody was satisfied. Again, Jesus ordered the fragments to be collected so that nothing would be wasted. The ability to perform miracles does not grant the authority to waste God's gift. The ability to perform miracles, I repeat, the ability to perform miracles does not grant the authority to waste God's gifts. Now the word translated baskets in Matthew chapter 15 verse 37, it's interesting here, we must take note of this. The word translated baskets in Matthew 15 verse 37 means a large hamper, large basket. It is the same kind of a strong basket that was used to lower the Apostle Paul over the Damascus wall. In Acts chapter 9 verse 25. But his disciples took him by night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. That was a large basket. But the word for basket that is used in the feeding of the 5,000, Matthew chapter 14 verse 20, that means a wicker basket. Matthew chapter 14 verse 20. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. Those baskets were the kind of a basket that a person would carry food or other goods in it, like a knapsack. The fact that these two different words are used is further proof that the two miracles are different. Now, Jesus did not preach a sermon to this crowd after feeding the 4,000. He did not preach a sermon to the crowd like the sermon that he preached after feeding the 5,000. After feeding the 5,000, he preached the sermon on the bread of life in Capernaum. After feeding the 5,000, he preached the sermon on the bread of life following the miracle of feeding the 5,000. John 6 verse 35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He spoke that sermon after feeding the Jewish crowd of 5,000 people. Not after feeding the Gentile 7,000 crowd here in the Decapolis. The facts about the Old Testament manna and the bread of God would have never made any sense to this Gentile crowd that was here. Jesus always adapted his teaching to the needs and the understanding of the people to whom he ministered. Now this brings us to the close of Matthew chapter 15. But before leaving Matthew chapter 15, let's review some of the spiritual lessons that it contains for us. I would suggest that you go back and read and meditate on Matthew chapter 15 once again. There are some of the lessons here which I have just noted down, but there may be many things that the Lord has spoken to you directly from this chapter. Meditate on that, because your life is transformed when God writes His word upon your mind and heart. Let me just read to you a few of the lessons here that we could learn. Number one, in Matthew chapter 15, the enemies of truth are often religious people who live according to man's traditions, like the scribes and the Pharisees. And Satan often uses religion to blind the minds of sinners to the simple truths of God's word. Number two, we must beware of any religious system that gives us an excuse to sin and disobey God's word. We must be careful. Any religious system or any tradition that gives us an excuse to sin and disobey God's word is dangerous. Number three, we must also beware of worship that comes from the lips only and not from the heart. Number four, if we major on the inner man, the outer man will be what God wants it to be, because true holiness comes from within. It's not what goes into a man's mouth that makes him holy, but what comes out of his mouth. Because what comes out from his mouth comes from his heart. So if we major on the inner man, the outer man will be what God wants it to be. Number five, it is difficult to break free from tradition. There is something in us that wants to hold to the past and make no changes. Even Peter had to learn his lesson twice. That's what we learned in Matthew chapter 15. Number six, we dare not limit Christ to any one nation or people, because the gospel came, yes, the gospel came to the Jew first, but today the gospel is for all people in all nations. The gospel came to the Jew first, yes, Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. But today the gospel is for all people in all nations. Romans chapter 10 verse 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Therefore, we must make use of every opportunity that God gives us and every door that God opens for us to proclaim this glorious gospel, which is the only hope for our nation. It is the only hope for the nations. Not only for our nation, but for the nations. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?